Today's program was brought to you by Union Beer. For more information, visit greatbrewers.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Hey, 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 welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Hey guys, it's January 2017. It's our first live show of the year. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43 in the Good Beer Seal. And today it's a special show. We've got beer photographers in here, so it's the fantasy show. Every guy you want to have take your picture and put on Instagram, they're in the room today. We've got Matt Coates, Matt Furman, Miguel Rivas, and Corey Smith here, who are all working as beer photographers in addition to their other careers, and it's going to be a great show. Big shout out to Union Beer Distributors, supplier of world-class ales and lagers, who's our sponsor. And if you have any questions, you can tweet us at beer_sessions, and also check us out on Instagram. We're getting more active on that. But, you know, it's great being back here January 2017. And all the guys in this room have really been players in the beer world, and it's a great way to start off the year. Like, you know, we'll start with Matt Coates. Matt, welcome to the show, buddy.
Thank you very much, Jimmy. It's a pleasure to be here.
We had a lot of fun. It was like three summers ago. It was kind of like the fantasy happening. It was like I had met the guys from Other Half. They were self-distributing. They were just going around. And I was like, gosh, I would love to ride around with, you know, with these guys, one man in a van, how they deliver, and all this adventures of carrying kegs down ladders and basements in New York City. And Justin Kennedy somehow put the story together, and you were the photographer. And you got to, what, spend the whole day taking photos with Other Half on the deliveries?
Yeah, basically it was just following these guys around. But, you know, more about the story, it was a story based on the self-distribution of beer, which is kind of the focuses less on the people making the beer, that more on the labor behind it. And like you said, you know, these guys, they drive kegs around, they schlep it down into dark basements.
Delivering beer is hard work.
Delivering beer, it's heavy. Yeah, it's heavy stuff. But just hung out with those guys for the day just to see what it actually is all about.
Was that one of your first big?
That was one of the first shoots that I did. Prior to that, I did a little portrait thing of guys from Greenpoint Beer and Ale, close friends of mine, which led into working with Other Half, which led into a Beer Advocate thing, which led into a personal show about self-distribution, and then the rest is kind of a haze.
And you've done Beer Advocate and a lot of other great stuff. And then Matt Furman, you're also like, same as Matt Coates, it's Coates and Furman today. You're also a professional photographer first, and then you got into, how did you get into shooting beer?
Let's see. I think it just started with some of the edible assignments that started coming through. And, you know, a lot of it's restaurants. And then as breweries popped up, started shooting those.
Yeah. What was one of the first, like, really cool beer, you know, stories you got to shoot?
I think it was the Barrier shoot. I got to shoot those guys for Long Island Pulse. And I just, you know, they're a really cool crew. And it was right before Hurricane Sandy hit. And then once it did hit, we did a cool sort of photo Sandy relief beer. I don't know if you remember
that. Yeah, no,
that.
We had him on the show. That was great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so I
all
think
the Long that, Island brewers got together, supported Barry, man.
Exactly.
Great experience.
And I worked on that with Nico, and we shot a lot of videos and photos, and I'd like to think that helped with...
Nico Kremitas, man.
Exactly.
That's cool. All these great connections. And then, and Corey, I've only met you recently, but you know, tell us how you started getting into shooting beer.
Initially, it was just Instagram. It was, I was interested in beer, and I had my sort of personal Instagram, and I was like, you know what? If I take a photo of a beer, you know, folks are not going to want to see that all the time, so let's start a different Instagram that is beer-focused. So I kind of just happened into it, and then that led me to get involved with Good Beer Hunting. And with those guys, I'm...
That's based in Chicago.
Yeah, right? Based in Chicago, exactly. And essentially what I do with that is I'm both writer and photographer. well, and then a lot of other things too, like producer and interviewer and all of those things. But what that allowed me to do is meet with brewers, visit breweries outside of New York, in New York, and spend the day with them, get to know them, and all the while just sort of shoot and hopefully get some good images.
Well, one thing great about this show is you check out all these guys' Instagrams, Matt Furman, Matt Coates, a Brooklyn beer guy over here, Corey, and of course, Miguel Rivas, who's the beer tracker, who's really out there, I think, more than anyone. You're mostly shooting on Instagram, aren't you, Miguel?
Well, I started the project also like 3 years ago. What I wanted to do is I've always been fascinated by Belgian beers. So I traveled to Belgium. I wanted to visit the Trappist Abbeys in Belgium. So I went there for a week, and I rented a car, drove around the country, and visited all six. I couldn't get in because you're not allowed. At least I wasn't allowed. Nobody knew who I was. But I still went to all the monasteries and took pictures. Then when I came back, I had so many material from Belgium that I wanted to start doing something with all the pictures. So I started focusing on where in the city where I lived for 14 years here in New York. And that was around the time that all the new breweries started, like Other Half and, you know, Transmitter, Big Alice. They were just starting up. So I started focusing on them and started shooting them and have seen them grow since. And then after that, it just took a life of its own, visiting every time I travel to anywhere in the world. I visit breweries and try to document it with pictures and stories. So
this is great. Toast, everybody. Again, everybody, check out your Instagram feeds, and all these guys will be posting from the show, which is kind of cool. So, you know, Matt Coates is like, we're flipping everything here. Usually Matt's taking photos, but today he gets to bring in a beer. So what beer did you bring in?
Oh, well, this is a very special beer. I hear that hazy IPAs are popular.
And there's no label on this.
He's bar. Really
there's
hyped
no
this one
label
up.
On this. So this beer is very special to my heart. In 2008, I think it was about then, I was dabbling in homebrew a little bit, and I had an IPA set up, but I never got around to using it. So the extract bag just and the yeast, they just sat around for a while. I moved to California. It kind of sat in my garage for a bit, and then you know what? Maybe I'll make that. So I went down to the homebrew shop. I'm like, those hops are probably bad. The yeast's probably bad. The grains, it's all fine. So I made this beer, and then it, you know, it sat in my kitchen on the top shelf for another good 3 years, and then I moved to New York. And, you know, all being said, it's probably a good 8 or 9 year aged IPA that I've moved about 7 times with. You know, it's gone from hot temperatures to cold.
Are you bullshitting us?
No, I'm absolutely.
This is a homebrew that you made.
I made this
a number of years ago.
Nine years ago.
It tastes pretty good. You know? And then we'll move to the professional beer. But this is good stuff, man. But like, talking about photos, man. So from that series, you did the self-distributing shoot with Justin. You were at Other Half. You know, tell us about you. I know you've done a lot of shoots with Other Half. There's something recently you were out at the Arizona Wilderness Brewery.
Yeah.
Cool Shit Project.
Yeah. So with the Other Half thing, it's kind of spawned other ideas. I travel with those guys a lot. We shoot a lot of the collaborations we do. Trying to make collaborations look interesting is a challenge in itself. A bunch of dudes on their laptops while guys in the brewery do work, you know, pretty riveting stuff. And I'm really happy to be there to document it. So we went off into, we went to Arizona to do a collaboration with them. These guys do a mobile cool ship where we brew the beer, take it up into the woods. And
I saw that on the article. What, they put the cool ship in the back of a pickup truck?
Yeah, so we pump everything into white wine barrels, pump it up into the pickup truck, drive it into the woods. And for this particular one, we had about 14 different brewers there. We all went camping and kind of made a super sick homebrew in the woods that maybe 8 people get bottles of one day.
So you're out there, and that's why you brought us this homebrew. 8 or 9 year old homebrew.
8 or 9 year old homebrew. Yeah.
What do you think? Who's Corey? Corey McGill, what do you think of this aged homebrew?
It tastes aged.
I'm looking for diacetyl. Dude, is it
not
in there?
Not in that.
No. That's what I was shooting for. That's a popular word these days.
It turned into a very nice English barley wine. Yes.
Right. Not IPA. You're not picking that out. I overhopped with Centennial. I went over what the instructions said.
But you can still remember a beer that you made 8 or 9 years ago.
I've only made 4 beers.
Oh, yeah.
I'd lie. I made 3 beers in my life.
So other apps. So earlier... it was cool you guys were posting on Instagram today, you know, some shots for the show tonight. I know that, Corey, you showed something from Transmitter Brewing in Long Island City. Tell us the story behind that shoot.
So that was a – I do different stories for Good Beer Hunting. Some of them are brewery profiles, and then others are – that particular one was called – or the series is called Critical Drinking. And the idea behind those is you're not really doing a brewery profile. You're not going in and, you know, showing their, you know, the day and really sort of trying to develop the profile of the brewery. You're really sitting down and asking them about the industry, the business, asking them questions that maybe are a little tough to answer simply because we want to dive deeper into the business of beer. So I sat down with those guys. Rob and Anthony are both great. I knew them prior, and they were super psyched to do it when I asked them. So I hung out with them for, you know, an hour or two while they were finishing up a brew day, and then sat down, had a series of questions with them, and then, as you do with many shoots, sat down and enjoyed some beer at the end.
How do you guys just decide, like, what style of you know, shot you're going to do? I mean, Matt, you know, you're shooting a lot. You're a pro. And you're shooting for edible, you know. What's a good beer, you know, beer photography?
One thing that was interesting, Matt just mentioned, going into the woods and, you know, making a beer in the woods. Something where there's a story or there's something you can kind of, like, you know, you can, oh, I can build upon this. Rather than, you know, there's some times where you just walk in and you're like, oh, this is just a beer factory. You know, it's like, what am I going to do visually here? That's when it's
a lot of breweries
a little
look
daunting.
The same, don't they?
They all look the same.
Exactly. And a lot of brewers
lot
start
of
looking the same, too.
A lot of round, shiny things and dudes with beards
right,
who
exactly.
aren't comfortable having their pictures taken.
Exactly.
I think that part also that when you are, at least for me as a, you know, because for many years I was a consumer of beers, I still am. But now that I've been involved in the industry, for me personally, also has to do with not only the beer they make, because that's part of the process, but also the brewery, the brewer, the people who are there, they have to have a story. And I think that when I'm taking pictures for me, what's interesting is try to capture that story, because that's the other part of making a great beer. It's not only the beer that they're making in the brew house, because it can be great, but then if the brewers are dicks, then, you know, the beer to me doesn't taste as good.
What's one place that you took photos of that you like the story, you like the guys, and the guys? Yeah.
Well, after 3 years of doing this and, you know, being to a lot of places, I can say single-handedly that my favorite brewery that I've been and shot as a whole is Jester King in Austin, Texas. It's a beautiful place just getting there to the brewery in Austin. They're like on the outside of Austin in Hill Country. So getting there, it's, you know, it's an experience. And once you get there, it's something in the middle of nowhere. There's nothing else around. And last year, Jeff, he purchased part of the land just to protect that. Because as Austin is growing further down, he doesn't want anything to, like, you know, mess up with what they have there. So, and they have a beautiful story, you know, two brothers started home brewing and now they are pretty much changing the landscape of beer here in America. And, you know, their beers are amazing. And the people who work there, everybody there has so much passion. It's just inspiring to me, meeting all those guys, talking to them and seeing how much passion they have on what they do.
And Miguel's great. Last year on the road with Beer Sessions Radio, Miguel was our photographer. Check him out on Instagram at The Beer Trekker. Great, great guy. And who brought this second bottle of beer? Also, big shout out because our buddies are following us now. You can check Untappd. There's a Beer Sessions Radio account. So we're tracking all the beers that we taste online. Hill Farmstead Edward, that was what we all started with tonight, right, guys? There was here at Roberta's, we were drinking that. What do you guys think about Hill Farmstead? You know, it's
I enjoy their beers. I don't have a lot of they don't come in front of me very often. It's kind of a trek to get out to the other side of Greenpoint to have Hill Farmstead. Maybe if there was something in more of like the dive bar scene, you know, what I'm allowed to get out and go see. You know, I got kids. I can't go out at night.
You guys are wild.
I really want to photograph him, Sean Hill. I've never got to photograph him. And actually, one of the shoots I did for Draft Magazine, they called me, or I got an email saying, we want you to shoot these, originals of craft beer for like a big, you know, 3-cover story. And initially in my mind, I was like, oh man, you know, I'm going to go to 3 Floyds and Sean Hill and all this is going to be great. And it was still great, but it was Sam Cook from Sam Adams, Sam Caligione from Dogfish, and then Steve Lindy from Brooklyn. So it was a good assignment and cool to shoot, but not quite, I guess, the originals that I... Yeah. The original
last one, what's this other beer that we popped? Did you bring this, Corey?
No, I
brought
this.
This is Matt Fantôme. So this is another one that I took a trip to Belgium with a friend. And we kind of similar to what you were saying, Miguel. Like, you can't just show up and you know, get a tour. You know what I mean? Like, they have certain dates, and it's always on weekends. And we were only there during the week, so we were hounding Belgian breweries, like, "Hey, can we come and check out your brewery?" And Danny at Fantôme was one of the ones who was like, "Sure, come over." And he's literally a one-man show. So this is the Fantôme.
Read off the label so we track that on tap.
Called Pissenlit. Anyway, it's a saison, farmhouse saison. And like most of Danny's brews, it's kind of it's hit or miss. Like, they're either brilliant or there's some inconsistencies. And after being there, you can see why. He's like a one man show. I mean, he's literally in a barn by himself, mad scientist, awesome dude. And so anyway, it was an awesome day. We got to shoot, hang out with him. And actually, the people from Jester King were there the week before. And they brewed a beer with
him? They did Fantôme del Rey.
They did truffle?
Yeah, saison. Truffle honey.
It was amazing. I mean, it was so fresh and the truffles were amazing.
If I knew you were going to bring that, I would have brought that. I had that bottle, the one from Belgium, because then they did a second batch in Austin, which is the one that they were, you know, talking about being
These guys get access to so much stuff. Listeners, if you like beer, really follow these guys on Instagram. See the places they're going. Hey, we'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right. Woo! Okay, now we'll come back.
In 1996, L. Knife & Son acquired Union Beer Distributors, which was originally located on Union Avenue in Brooklyn, but has since expanded to its present location alongside the English Kills Canal in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. Union Beer has grown dramatically in the last decade as the primary distributor of Anheuser-Busch products for Kings County, Brooklyn, through the hiring and development of the best people in the industry. In 2003, Union Beer acquired a powerful catalog of specialty brands, which immediately positioned them as the craft beer supplier to accounts in Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens, and Staten Island. Union perpetually tweaks their portfolio to maintain the highest level of stylistic breadth with the most coveted brands available. Through the highest possible level of service, outstanding salesmanship of the ultimate lineup of brands, and a paramount focus on education on all levels, Union Beer has solidified its position as the only source for the best selection of beers in the 14 counties of southeastern New York. For more information, visit greatbrewers.com.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions. It's like 24 hours to go. Somebody's like pumping this up, right? Matt Coates, you're like, it's Black Shirt Rock and Roll Day. Where are we going after the show tonight?
Head out to Beer Street for Black Metal Black Beer. And it's Tuesday, so you're supposed to wear black.
Our buddy Corey Bunt, can we get in without black? Because I'm wearing like tan.
You might get punched, but you know, we'll see.
David in his studio is wearing black today. He's like, but this is a cool show, man. It's like all the guys I want to hang out with. Again, it's like I want to see your photos on Instagram, and I'm so psyched that you guys are here tonight. Corey, you had a story you want to tell us. We're like sharing. These guys go out and take photos at breweries and get the real inside stuff. So,
Matt Furman was saying that, you know, lots of times you walk into a brewery and, you know, you're like, okay, this looks a lot like every other brewery you've been in. So you look for that story when you get there. And one that jumped out in my mind was I went up to Portland to do a story on Allagash. And I remember going up there thinking that the story was going to be one thing, that the images were going to be one thing. And after meeting them and sort of spending time with them, it became something completely different. We were at the brewery a lot, but I ended up going out to dinner with those guys at a local place that they loved. Their social media and Instagram guy ended up getting up with him at 5 a.m. to go shoot the coast. And a lot of that sort of developed that story, which was how intertwined Allagash is with Portland, the city itself. So that to me was something that was really interesting and not something I had expected. But again, it's one of those things where you look for that story, both photographically and, you know, as I was writing it.
That's great, man. And Coates, where's the Coates over there? Okay. Now we've done, again, some really cool, you remember the New Primitives, you did that cover story for Beer Advocate.
Oh, that was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun, that Hudson Valley story. And I feel like such a jerk for not having gone back and visited these breweries after they were in their construction phase. So all I know of Suarez family is like plywood over the windows. There's a huge puddle that I jumped my car into.
But they're open now.
I know they're open now.
Hudson, New York.
I know, but I feel like I'm not going to go upstate unless I just move there. Because if I go there, I'm never going to come
back. And he's got Plan B was in that story.
Yeah, Plan B was in that story. I love what Evan's doing up there. Again, if only I left Brooklyn a little more often, besides going to JFK to go somewhere else.
But where is you guys? You know, you're doing a lot with Other Half. We know that they do a lot of collaborations. Are you traveling with them?
Yeah, I do a lot of traveling with them. I do a lot. I used to go into the local collaborations quite a bit, but to be honest, their schedule is just I can't. It doesn't always work that time. So actually, Miguel goes quite a bit to visit the collaborations and to see like who's going to collaborate with Other Half. You know, I would be there every time to do it, but I have so many other jobs.
You're a real
photography, like
photographer.
I guess, yeah.
Fashion.
Yeah. Primarily, what I work in is like in fashion, in like this the shallow world of celebrity portrait. You know, I got mouths to feed. I absolutely love shooting in beer. I do a lot of the Other Half still life, the cans and things like that. And then just kind of travel and beer kind of elsewhere in the world. We have a really cool project coming up in Iceland that would be really cool to do like a spontaneous fermentation trip similar to the one we did in Phoenix.
I saw that you had an article about cool ships. Did that start as a photography article?
Or? The cool ship thing came up as I need another idea of something to shoot. The cool ships thing was something that we talked about with Beer Advocate recently, and we're like, well, who else is doing cool ships? I talked about the Arizona project that we had going on, and then, you know, it was really interesting that, like, LIC Beer Project does a cool ship just, you know, 2 miles away from us here, and the beers that you're going to get are going to be, you know, fairly different. You know, you have something that comes from the city versus something that comes from nature. But, you know, what LIC Beer Project has going on is, you know, they're like when the wind blows a certain direction, they're able to harvest the bacteria, the flora, the fauna, the yeast, all the words that I'm not using correctly from like fig trees in the area. Versus Arizona's, which comes from like, pine trees, or it depends on the elevations that they're coming to. Like, everybody really knows how to work with nature in order to get a very specific taste in their beers. And
you went to Allagash in that trip also, right?
I did not go to Allagash in that trip, no.
Okay, someone else's photos.
I'm not sure who went there. Actually, I believe that other photo was from the Vale, and I did not visit them.
That's cool, man. And it's just fun. And so, Corey, it's good beer hunting. Like, tell me about that. I've seen the site. There's like a number of writers, a number of photographers.
Right. Yeah. There's
how'd you get involved with it?
So there's a number of contributors, and people contribute in various ways. Some are just photographers. Some are just writers. I am lucky enough to do both. I initially started with them just as a photographer, but I have an interest in writing. So they let me produce a story. The very first one I ever did was in Richmond, Virginia, and that was sort of a like a roundup of the breweries there, just a quick overview. So we have a new editor that's in place, and essentially I work with him the way anybody would work with any sort of editorial. I pitch them a story, tell them why I'm interested in it, what the angle is, and if they bite and they're interested, they send me off and I head up and go shoot the place.
It's kind of a labor of love too, right? You guys still have some kind of day job.
It is. Yeah, I work in advertising. I'm a freelancer, which actually affords me a lot of flexibility, which I like, because I do have downtime. And when I have downtime, I love shooting, I love writing, I love visiting breweries. So I fit in those stories when I can do it. For instance, my next one coming up, I'm slated to do something with the guys at Bissell. And when the gig that I'm currently at
in Maine, right?
In Maine, yeah, they're in Portland as well. They just moved over to their new space, which is huge and beautiful and awesome, and they make great beer. So that's the next thing that I have coming up.
That's cool, man. Well, cheers, Miguel. You brought a beer from Jester King. Tell us what beer this is, buddy.
Cheers,
man. This is their
cheers.
This is their table beer. It's called Le Petit Prince. And it's a table beer, 2.9%, super crushable. It's almost like water with some sort of flavor, very good flavor.
It's a magnum, right? It's like a 1.5.
Yeah, beer. I didn't know. I mean, I only seen this at the brewery in 750 format, but I was in Texas this last Thanksgiving. And, you know, throughout the years being in Instagram, you get to meet, at least I have met a lot of people. That's how I met Corey, through Instagram. And, you know, every time I go out, and I know that there's some local people who do similar photography, beertography, as we call it, I try to reach out to them and meet them in person and, you know, hang out, have some beers. So I have met quite a few people traveling around the country. So on my trip to Houston, I have a very good friend now. His name is Alex. And I invite him to come home to meet up for a little bit, have some drinks. And he came home with this monstrosity of a bottle that I've never seen. He's like, here, take this to New York. I was kind of worried, how was I going to bring it? But I managed, and here we have it. We're drinking it today.
It's nice to see a magnum.
Do I want to ask how you managed?
Do you want to?
Don't, but well done, Alex.
So if a photo's worth 1,000 words, how about this? Hashtag beertography, you know, that was, it's still on Twitter, and John Kleinchester, our buddy, had a site, beertography.com. He couldn't make it to the show tonight. But I remember for years, I used to post, every time we had a show, I'd take a picture of a brewer with his bottle and post it to hashtag beertography. Did you guys, were you part of that, any of you? Matt or Corey?
I used it a lot in the beginning. I use them less now. I mean, I do hashtag things, but I try to make it a little more specific to either a place or a brewery. But that is the one that is probably the most notable or the most used by far, except for maybe craft beer.
Beer porn.
Or beer porn.
Beer porn,
exactly.
And I've seen also, like, for, I know you guys as pros, like, you know, it seems like you put beer in a photo and people want to look at it. There's one, I shouldn't say it, but Instagram, it's at beer chests. And it's literally like women, you know, in bikinis with beer. I mean, is there anything?
I don't know anything about that.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's a lot of gimmicks that work. There's women that have Instagram accounts that, yeah, here's a picture of this beer in this bikini that I'm wearing with my red lip that never changes in its tone as red lip. And, you know, sometimes they do it for charity. Sometimes they do it just for followers. I tend to not be a huge hashtagger. I will throw some out sometimes just because you kind of have to. But because, like, you know, my social media feed varies so much that I don't want to get kind of pigeonholed into one thing. I want to shoot everything. You know, I have total ADD. So I was like, I'll shoot beer, I'll shoot nature, I'll shoot dogs, I'll shoot kids, I'll shoot, you know, a little bit of everything. I don't know, maybe I'll shave my chest and put on some lipstick.
You're doing more portraits too. Like, you're not, I don't see on Matt Coates, you're not putting like a can of beer. It's usually like
no,
portraits,
it's generally
of people.
Correct. Yeah, it's generally about the people behind it. Sometimes it's a can if I'm like, oh, I love this still life picture I took of this can. Like, I love the way that's dewiness runs off the side. Like, that's rare. You're going to see something like that maybe once or twice a year. Maybe I should do more. Get, you know, get all the likes, trick you guys, and then be like, ha, here's more pictures of dogs and kids.
Matt Furman, what's your favorite beer photo you ever took?
I'm not so into like the beer themselves, still lives. I like the people, you know, the brewers. Try to focus on them, and so. You know, I don't know. I don't really have a favorite right now, but I do. It is a passion for me. Like, I just got into craft beer, and so when it pops up, any jobs pop up, anything pops up, even if they're not jobs, I just like I jump on them. I like to go and
Did you do a recent beer shoot for Edible?
At all? Yeah, Edible? You know what? I just did one that was really cool for Enlightenment Meads. Which is in Brooklyn.
Raphael, yeah.
Yeah, do you guys know those guys?
Yeah.
They're doing some really cool shit. And that was another one where the story itself, it wasn't really a story, but they just said, you know, they're making, they're like these mysterious type of meads, and they're doing these old world style. And so I just had that in my mind, like, okay, I can jump on that and make it sort of this mystic vibe to the shoot.
Enlightenment Meads, check them out. They have a taste room now, too.
Yeah.
Right in Brooklyn. Hold on a second. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right. Whoop. Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Hey, guys, we're talking about Fantôme. We're talking about Matt Coates' 9-year-old IPA, Miguel's Jester King that he brought
delicious.
Back. And who brought the last beer? Was that you, Corey?
Yeah, that was me. So I'm originally from Virginia, and my wife and myself are both from there. So we get down there often to visit family, and every time I'm down there, I make sure to pop into places like the Vale and The Answer and Triple Crossing, and of course Hardywood. And Hardywood does probably one of their more well-known stouts. It's called Gingerbread Stout. And then last year, or perhaps 2 years ago, it was at least last year, might have been 2 years ago, they started taking that beer and aging it, or not aging it, but finishing it on coffee. So this is essentially Gingerbread Stout with coffee.
So Hardywood Christmas morning.
Yeah, Hardywood Christmas morning.
You guys
morning.
On Untapped. All right. You know, this is a great show because, again, like I said, I love all the work that you guys do, especially with Matt Coates. It was like, we'll go back to that time because, you know, it was like, wow, we should just, like, drive around with other half as they just deliver one day. And, of course, I missed the whole delivery.
But you
time,
have,
I showed up in time for lunch.
You showed up in time for lunch, and then you got to ride in the back of the Sprinter.
So we got locked into the van in the back with the kegs.
Super safe. Like, no seat belts, just tie downs. Yeah, you and Justin, I believe.
It was fun.
But you know what? And for that lunch, we had, what do we have? I had like cow's tongue or something for the first time. Like, whoa, this is what my dad used to complain about.
We went
about
over to a place near Double Windsor, that part of Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Kind of the Brooklyn route. So they have like different days. They were doing men. You know, this whole self-distributing thing, I think, is what's really cool in New York City. And, you know, a lot of them, at some point you grow up and you have to get a distributor. But at other half still self-distributes. And
yeah, that's correct.
They could have either driven in Manhattan one day or Brooklyn. We went to Double Windsor. Then we ended up at other half, and you did some cool portraits there.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we'd actually done like an Astoria, like random drop-off, then South Brooklyn. Yeah, again, it's just, you know, that's the labor of it. And so you brew some day. When you're a small operation, at least, you brew some days and you deliver the next ones. And then eventually you start selling more beer, you get to hire people, and that whole business process.
You get to know the beer industry, too.
Yeah, and then 3 years later, you know, I guess everyone's doing all right. I mean, I had to decide what Bentley to drive here today.
Hopefully. You know, and after that, we're going to go to Beer Street in your Bentley with our black shirts on, right?
I was just going to jump in and ask you guys that you guys have a lot of followers, like a big following, so I'm just curious where do you ever have to sort of monitor the comments and stuff? Like, I mean, you might influence what brewers, you know, their beers that are coming out and stuff like that?
Not really. I mean, I can't speak for Miguel, who has like double what I have. For me, most everyone that's on there that's a follower of mine, I mean, not everyone, but there are many that I have frequent conversations with. People, you know, the same people post a lot. You start to have a little bit of a digital rapport with them in a way. But for the most part, it's normally very positive, very, yeah. Very.
Nobody's like, I had this and it was.
Well, I've had that for sure. For sure. I've had people, you know, I'll put a beer up and every now and again you'll get someone that's like, oh, that beer is garbage.
Right.
But I, you know, I don't focus on that too much because for me, what I'm doing is, at least in my mind, is very much a 50-50 split. I'm, you know, I'm in it for the beer. I love beer. I love craft beer. I dedicate a lot of time to it. But I also love the photography aspect of it. So, you know, and beyond that, furthermore, you know, everybody has an opinion. Like I've told Miguel, I've said this phrase before, there are no absolutes in craft beer. It's like everyone has their own things that they like, you know. So
sure.
If they want to say a beer that I liked, they didn't like, then that's great. You know, I think there should be more discourse like that.
Plus, you're taking pictures of beer like, oh, dude, let me see what your pictures of beer look like. Like, oh, you didn't get to go outside and take pictures of beer today. You commented from the toilet in your office of how displeased you were with that beer.
Oh, but one thing in this day and age with social media, and you mentioned about being influenced into breweries, not to breweries, but more to like the consumers, because and, you know, one, Corey mentioned one of the breweries that I always use as an example as a brewery being engaged with their customers and their followers is Allagash. Mm-hmm. Matt Troger, is
Troger,
it?
Yeah.
I also met him, and he's a phenomenal photographer, but he's there full time. He's like their social media and does marketing. Mm-hmm. Allagash is a big brewery. They've been around for a lot of years, so they have the budget to do that. But I always use them as an example because if you go to Allagash feed, it's like a magazine. You go through every single picture and each one is prettier than the next one. And Matt captures a story, not only about Allagash the brewery, but as Maine, the state of Maine as a whole. So when they get people just... They just want to see it. They want to see the feed because, you know, he puts a lot of good content. So
and something to be said about that style of content is people don't really acknowledge how much work goes into something looking so good and so polished. Like, you know, there's some publications, Draft Magazine, for instance, is very polished. Everything's very clean. Not my style. I'm like... You know, I'm super lazy. I want to shoot it. I want it rough. I want it to look kind of raw, but have my own personal touch to it. You know, everybody has their own style, but to make something look good takes a lot of work. People are like, oh, why doesn't it's my camera's fault? Like, it's not your camera's fault. It's you. You know, it's lighting. No, there's so much more that goes into it. It's really hard to do this.
I'm going to stop looking at beer chests on Instagram.
The
photos suck. Come on.
Just make that red lip pop and you're fine.
No, because what also people don't understand is that, you know, you need a camera. Like, good camera is going to take a different picture than a phone camera. But it also takes, you know, you have to have an eye for photography. You have to know a little bit about composition to be able to put everything in place. And, you know, a lot of breweries, you see how brewers are just taking pictures with their phone and then they post it and like, usually they're all crappy. And
Matt Furman, when you're doing like a professional shoot, how many photos do you take and then what's the ratio? How many actually get published?
I want to hear this because I want to see how it matches up with mine.
That's tough.
Are you a spray and pray kind of guy?
I'm not a spray and pray. I mean, sometimes, yeah. I mean, if it's action happening, you know, it's tough. Like, in portraits, you know, I've gotten pretty good at knowing, like, okay, we've got it. You know, there's only so many times I can ask the brewer to look at the beer or to fake, you know, brewing. And then there are some moments where I like to, so I typically I'll go in and I'll do kind of a lit portrait. And then that way we got it pretty quick. And then afterwards, I'll say, all right, let's let's fake brewing. Or if any of you guys have ever gone to shoot a brew day, it's like eight dudes standing around a lot of the time. It's not much action. So you got to like kind of do something. And then we start shooting sort of a little more like documentary style.
And the one thing I want to say is funny because I was watching the NFL playoffs. And now it's like it's so bad, like Negra Modelo ads. There's like the supposed like brewery worker holding up a bottle of Negra Modelo looking at the clarity or something. Right.
Matt, you didn't give us a number. I want to know how much you shoot.
I honestly don't know. I mean, maybe 800
okay,
frames.
Okay, good.
I shoot like 30.
And then Justin has a question. Justin, great to have
you. Yeah, I was just curious how you guys, like, don't make beer boring. It's really fucking boring to walk into a brewery and get a tour for the most part. How do you keep things interesting when you're photographing places you're going?
Easy, they just go to good beer bars like Jimmy's Number 43.
Who wants that?
There you go.
Much better shots.
I tend to start drinking.
I have a story about that one.
Everyone can answer this. Go and we go.
Well, to me, one of the most interesting shots that I've done was last year in Rhode Island. There's this brewery called Proclamation. And I was asked by the owner and brewer if I could go up there and shoot some pictures. I met him the year before at Extreme Beer Fest in Boston, and I've been in contact with him through social media and emails for a few years now. So I went up there to shoot the brewery, and like all these guys have said, when you go to a brewery, it's a lot of standing around waiting for the boil, waiting for the hop addition and all that. So there's a lot of standing around, and the brewers have to be doing other things in the meantime, replying to suppliers, hop suppliers and whatnot. So I wanted to, so how can we make this shot a little different from all the other shots that I've done? It's just a bunch of, stainless steel standing, nothing happening. So I asked Dave, do something interesting. And they were about to do the hop addition, the last one. And he's like, how about if I stick my head inside the kettle as they're pouring the hops? And I was like, okay, yeah, let's try that. So he put his head inside, and then his assistant brewer started pouring all the hops. And he was, like, with his head tilted. I took a shot of that, and all the hops, as they were going in, a lot of them went inside his nose. So after the thing was done, he took his head out, and he went running to the bathroom screaming. And then he came back and, like, sniffing, and his eyes were all red.
You were trying to make a good shot, but it didn't work.
Well, no, the shot came out good, and then I asked him, like, what happened? He's like, have you ever done snorts of hops? And I'm like, no. That's exactly how I feel. Like, I just did lines of hops, and I said, you should name the beer that,
I find that when you're shooting breweries enough, you kind of learn what the hero moment is going to be. And, oh, we're going to start brewing at 6 a.m. Like, oh, great. I'll be there at 9 to get you to mash out. I mean, maybe if I get you opening a bag of grain, cool, interesting. If I get mashing out, interesting, sniffing some hops, adding some hops, great. Otherwise, there's a lot of boiling happening. My lens is going to get fogged. I was, probably out having some beverages the night before, especially if we're traveling.
So you're also fogged?
Yes, as well, exactly.
What about you, Corey? You got a story?
A lot of what Matt is saying is true. There's a lot of similarities when you go to shoot, and you learn that over time. And I think that you have to start to think about what you want. At least for me, I don't want to speak for these guys, but I start to think about what I want the sort of image tapestry to be. At the end of the day, what is the visual language that I'm capturing of the brewery? It might be some stainless steel, it might be some hops, but for me, again, going back to the Allagash story, or even the Veil, when I went to the Veil and did the story on them, a lot of that was... just getting to know the brewer, Matt Tarpey. He was essentially, a workman of one at that point. He was the only guy there when I met up with him in this giant empty brewery.
So I made it a lot about him, and I made it feel sort of sparse and empty except for just him, because that was what spoke to me when I got there.
Now, Corey, this is a great beer, the Hardywood. It does taste like gingerbread. I'm not a big fan of all Christmas beers, but this one's really great. The Hardywood.
Hardywood Christmas morning, which is GBS saying. With coffee. It's good stuff.
And the ginger's subtle, though.
Furman. Matt Furman. Yeah. Your experience, your crazy but boring.
Similar to
shooting in a brewery store.
To everybody, you know, it's like I think you got to always go in with a point of view. You know what I mean? And it doesn't have to be very intricate or elaborate. Like, I literally, just photographed Jesse at Interboro. And, you know, I just know his sort of hip-hop background. So it's just like, okay, that's all you need. It's sort of roll with that, you know? Like, I don't know. I go with stuff like that.
So, like, you know, a magazine that we all read, Beer Advocate, has great photography. What does it take to become a photographer for Beer Advocate?
Take good pictures.
I've never shot for them.
Mister, you got something to shoot for. No. You know, you get a direction. It's with any client. I did a recent one with the Cool Ships. They had me go to Long Island LIC Beer Project. And, like, we want something that's, you know, still kind of urban that shows that they're in the city. And I'd never been there before. I'm like, all right, how can I do this? And I noticed there were taxis next door. So I'm like, okay, maybe I'll shoot like an abandoned taxi with their logo. I'm like, oh, that picture is absolutely terrible. So I'm like, well, maybe I'll do like a. And so what I ended up doing is like a slow exposure with one of the Brooklyn green cabs driving through. Like, all right, that is the only possible picture that I can take that matches like this urbanness, you know, for those of us who recognize the color of the green taxis. You know, so it's just about kind of interpreting, you know, the needs of what somebody wants. And, you know, you guys would go there and run with that whole idea in a different direction.
That's great. Let's wrap it up, Miguel.
I have shot for Beer Advocate 4 times now, and the first time was when Other Half was just opening, so I took a few shots of their tasting glasses that they had at the time, and they chose that one for an article that Joshua Bernstein had done about East Coast IPAs. And then after that, I just stayed in touch with them, and, you know, I guess they have liked what I have done in the past. So now whenever I travel anywhere, I just send out an email to the editors of the magazines and tell them, look, I'm going to be in these places. Do you have anything happening? And that just happened. The first cover of Beer Advocate this month, it was about the Southern Brewing Company in Athens, Georgia. And I was going to North Carolina last year, and I told them, look, I'm going to be in North Carolina, Tennessee, and Georgia. Do you have anything happening? And they said, yeah, there's this brewery down there. If you're there, if you don't mind. I'm like, yeah, no, I don't mind. I was... My first, where I was going to visit was Creature Comforts, but this brewery was very close, and I have never heard of them. So the same thing, I went there, spent the morning with the guys, learn about their history, what they were doing. It's a new brewery, and, you know, telling a story.
Miguel, what's your Instagram again?
The Beer Trekker.
At The Beer Trekker. And then Matt Furman, anything else you want to say before we close out? And what's your Instagram? Do you post beer on Instagram?
Yeah, I'll post some beers. At Furman Photo. FURMANFOTO. And I don't know. Thanks for having me. I love beer and being involved. And that's it. And
Matt Coates, what's your Instagram?
It's Matt Coates, no E on Coates, because Coates. That's the incorrect way to spell plural.
And do you have another beer photo thing coming up soon?
I do, actually. I've got a show happening at Browery Lane, which is the very place where I learned kind of about beer. And this show is called Mostly Vacation Photos, and it opens on Thursday. It'll be there at 7 p.m. There'll be some free
Browery Lane, Greenpoint Brooks.
That's correct.
That's
great. Guess what the content is? Mostly vacation photos.
Whoa. Cool stuff. And then, Corey, what's your Instagram?
Instagram is BK Beer Guy. What do I have currently? I'm in the middle of wrapping up a story that I pitched. My wife and I took a anniversary trip to Spain, and I pitched Good Beer Hunting on doing a sort of overview of my time there. It's part travel, part beer. That's being edited currently, and then again I have the Bissell thing coming out very soon.
And a big shout out our annual event for New York City Beer Week, March 1st. It's New York City Brewer's Choice. A lot of great people involved in it. Dave Broderick from Blind Tiger and a lot of other good friends. Ann likes beer. It's all the brewers we're talking about, from Other Half to Jeff O'Neill to so many others will be there. It's an intimate event. It's over 40 brewers and a lot of restaurants involved. But New York City Brewers Choice, check it out now. Tickets are on sale, and it will sell out. So it's, again, that's our main beer event of the year. So, guys, thanks for coming on, man. This is great.
Thank you.
Everyone say your names one more time, because it's so cool.
Oh, it's Matt Coates. It's been an absolute pleasure to be here.
And Matt Furman as well.
Miguel Rivas, and thank you, Jimmy, for having me. It's been a pleasure all last year hanging out with you.
Sure, man.
And Corey Smith, thanks again, Jimmy. This has been a ton of fun.
Thank you, and I'd like to thank our sponsors again at Union Beer Distributors, who've helped to bring this podcast to you tonight. Also, big shout-out, our Heritage Radio Network annual host party is this week, and thank you, Lagunitas, for donating beer. You guys are great supporters. And everybody, I'm Jimmy Carboni. Thanks to our producer, Justin Kennedy, and our engineer, David Tadisher. We're going to Beer Street. We're in black, and we'll see you next time on Beer Sessions Radio. All right. Woo!
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.